Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Achrei Mos Shlishi, the third Aliyah in Parshas Achrei Mos. Ours is a Aliyah of only 10 psukim, running from Perek Tes Zayin Pasuk Chof Hei to Per Pasuk Lamed Daled. The topic of our Aliyah is the Atonement of Yom Kippur. We hear now about how the Kohen is completing his service. So that is the after the Meshaleach, the person who sends out this seir, this goat, to Azazel, to this place in the desert, will come back, wash his clothes, and be pure in the evening. We then hear about the seir, the parachatas and the seir achatas, which were brought. We will hear that they are burnt in fire, so they were sacrificed earlier, their blood was sprinkled, and the rest of them is burnt. And this is going to be the practice which will always be in motion for the 7th month, the 10th day. That is what we call Yom Kippur. And we have here a few more ideas about the day. It's going to be a day where ta'anu es nafshoi sechem. There needs to be self-affliction. V'chol melecho lo sa'asu. And no work may be done. You may not do any work. This is a day of atonement. Why? Ki ba yom hazeh yechaper aleichem v'tayir eschem yikol chatat zechem lifnei Hashem titaru. Because on this day, your sins will be atoned in front of Hashem. Very powerful statement. And we also hear that is a Shabbat, Shabbason, a Sabbath of Sabbaths. And the Kohen who represents you will be the one who atones you, and he'll atone for the Migdash, HaKodesh, and the Ohel Moed, the Tent of Meeting. So this is the end of sort of the general description of the Avodas Yom Kippur, in the service on Yom Kippur. A few basic questions to think about. Number one is why the washing of the clothes? Why is the person who sends out the Seir, which is essentially affecting the atonement, is the one who has to wash his clothes, in a sense becoming impure himself if he's purifying everybody else? So the Medrash Rabbah in Bereshis Rabbah Yutes tells us that Rabbi Yeshua de Sikkinin would quote Rabbi Levi, who said there are four things that the Yetzer Hara and the nations of the world ask upon us, and they are the following. One is called Eishes Ach. Eishes Ach is that one is not allowed to marry the wife of one's brother. A man may not marry the wife of one's brother. However, where the Torah does give a mitzvah of Yibum, where under certain circumstances where the brother predeceases, the living brother, the remaining brother should marry the wife of the deceased. So in life, she is a forbidden relationship to this brother. Upon death of her husband, it's a mitzvah to marry her. So that's a question. Why could there be such a opposite? Another example is kilayim. Why should it be that we cannot wear shatnez, but on tzitzis, we're allowed to have shatnez, we're allowed to have mixed species? The other one is the para aduma, that when the person who brings the para aduma, the kohen who is metaher, those who are impure, that person becomes impure themselves. And finally, the seir ha-mishtalech, which is our case over here. Why does the person who sends out, brings out this goat, which is being sent out, becomes impure themselves, and they're purifying everybody else? So these are ideas where the Torah clearly is defying logic. This is not about how we would understand it, what we would prescribe to be the natural order of things. There's something larger afoot, which this is what's called a chok, a place where we suspend some of our better judgment to appreciate that there's something much bigger afoot as well. Another question is why is it that the main sin which is described over here as being atoned for is Tumas Migdash Ukadosha, which means the impurity of the state of the sanctuary? Out of all the sins, I mean, there are many bad sins. There's murder, there's adultery, there's all kinds of terrible things that happen in society. Wouldn't those be the ones that should be atoned for? Why is the one that is labeled the Yom Kippur atonement is the sanctuary, the purity of the sanctuary? That refers to, let's say, a person comes in a state of impurity or eats kochim, holy meat, in a state of impurity. That's the sin that's being atoned for. I would wonder if that the level of what the sanctuary, of the holiness of the sanctuary, is a reflection truly of the of what's going on in the sanctuary itself. Meaning to say that it is the temperature of the water as the relationship with the Almighty. If people are actually keeping a careful relationship with the Almighty, then the way they act in the sanctuary is going to reflect that. If not, then there'll be a little more lax when it comes to the sanctuary as well. I think this is very important to appreciate, because even today I believe that's true as well. the way and the tenor in which the people treat the holy places, shuls and batei medrash, is a reflection of the way they view them in society as well. And if the generally one's spiritual life is more corrupt, or has more to be improved upon, then the relationship with the sanctuary is also going to be in need of improvement as well. It's usually a good indicator of where the real relationship is at as well, how one treats the base Knesset, how one treats the base Medrash itself. It's worthwhile noting that what is it that Yom Kippur actually atones for? So the Rambam actually goes through a very important list over here. He says that now that we no longer have a Beis HaMikdash, so he describes that that a person can go do teshuvah. So Rambam describes a few categories of when where a person gets purified. He says the first is that there are averos which is ein bo kores. Let's say a person, they don't have any excommunication with them. If a person does teshuvah, then it ein ozaz misham ad shemaychlen la. You need to have atonement or forgiveness. So if you hurt your neighbor, you need to get atonement from your neighbor, and then it will be the full process will have been affected. But let's say a person did something which doesn't have kares, but or misas based in, and did teshuvah. The teshuvah waits and waits until Yom Kippur. So meaning to say, the teshuvah process is effective until Yom Kippur comes and completes the process. It's not like Yom Kippur is a magic incantation; it's the follow up of the process of teshuvah as well. Quoting the pasuk in Aliyah, "Ki yavazeich haper aleichem." However, if a person transgresses a commandment which has also Misa or Kares, then even though a person does Teshuvah and Yom Kippur comes, then a person needs to also, God forbid, undergo suffering in this world as well, if it was a more severe of Avera. And if it was something which involved Chilul Hashem, then the person not only is Teshuvah, Yom Kippur, and suffering, and not enough, but they need to also die, and that would be the correction of the Chilul Hashem they created. So very, very complex process, just to see the multiple tiers of the process itself. It is worthwhile noting that there's a very important discussion over here, which is said, is that what is it that actually creates the atonement itself? What is it that affects the tshuva process? You see, because if the whole Avodas Yom Kippurim, which is the first three aliyahs of Parshas Achrei Mos, is going to be what creates atonement, then in the absence of that, what really happens? The Rambam is addressing this in the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, which is all we just looked through very briefly right now. But really, how does this work exactly? After all, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed around the year 70 Common Era. Although the Bar Kokhba rebellion regained traction and was able to conquer the land around the year 132 Common Era, it was mercilessly crushed in the death of 580,000 Jews and 185 Jewish cities destroyed by the year 135. So we haven't had a Beis HaMikdash, and even today that we're blessed to have the land of Israel, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash still. So how does this work? So it turns out that many individuals struggled with this question as well. And one of those individuals was a man by the name of Paul. Paul, in Pauline Christianity, one of the founders of the Christian faith, struggled tremendously with this. In fact, Rabbi Sachs has an incredible essay on this in his book, The Lead in the Scroll, or Radical Then, Radical Now, the English version of it. Which he describes Paul's own struggle. So Paul struggled with guilt. He struggled with the fact that there's no way to discharge guilt in a post-Mikdash reality. If the only way that one could really atone for one's actions and one's sins was through the process of sacrifice, and sacrifice was no longer available, what could one do? And in a certain sense, Paul found an answer. If you read through his letter to the Romans, very famously in his struggle with faith, he then comes up with a resolution, and to quote, he says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. We who die in sin, how shall we any longer live therein? Or are ye ignorant that all we who are baptized into the faith of Christianity are baptized into his death? We were buried through him, through his baptism unto death, and like their Savior, was raised from the dead through glory of the Father, so that we may walk in newness of life." So the answer that he presents is that through the death of the Savior of Christianity, that is the reason why, or the place, or the vehicle through which guilt can be discharged. because there is no way to extricate sin from the human being. If there's no process of sacrifice, the sacrifice was given through, so to speak, the quotation, the Son of God, whatever that means, and then that's the way to extract sin. That was the way that Paul resolved this issue. However, Paul was not looking at the psukim carefully enough. And that's why there was somebody else who was also struggling with this and came up with a very, very different perspective in understanding what the Torah really meant. His name was Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva lived through the Bar Kokhba rebellion and was actually killed in the Hadrianic persecutions following it. And in the famous last Mishnah, Maseches Yoma, dealing with Yom Kippur, Rabbi Akiva says a statement which we definitely know, but we don't understand the profundity of it unless we see it in this context. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva would say, Ashreichem Yisrael, praiseworthy are you, O Israel. Lifnei mi atem mitarim u mi mitar eschem. In front of whom are you impurified and who purifies you? Avichem sheba shamayim. It is your Father in heaven. Shneimar v'zarakti aleichem mayim toarim taratem. I'll throw over you the waters of purification and purify you. V'omer, quoting the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. Hashem is the mikveh, is the gathering place, or the purification process. Notice that the two psukim he quotes in the Mishnah are from Yechezkel and Yirmiyahu, the two prophets who witnessed the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. What Rabbi Akiva is essentially saying, the answer Rabbi Akiva gives is that the psukim are not saying that the service is what atones for you. That may be the vehicle of how it was then, but it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu who gives atonement. And therefore, even in the absence of this service, of this ritual, although it may be more difficult, there is still the possibility of atonement in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What essentially is Rabbi Akiva is saying is that the refocus over here is the notion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, as Micha says, as one of the earlier prophets, Hayirza Hashem Alfa Elim Birvavois Nachle Shemen. Does Hashem really want all these sacrifices? What does he want? He Gidlecha Ma'adam Ma'tov Uma Hashem Daresh Mimcha, says Micha. Ki im asois mishpat va'avas chesed va'atznei aleches v'nakecha. Micha tells us, Hashem wants your heart. He wants the way that you're going to behave. He wants the way you're going to live. That comes even independently of sacrifice. And although sacrifice is no longer here, we don't have that channel. The internal channel of what it's meant to be still exists for us and with us. And therefore, in what Rabbi Akiva's tremendous chiddush is that even in the post-Mikdash reality, which has been the last 2,000 years of Judaism, there is still the capacity of Kibe Yom Hazeh Yechaper Aleichem. It is the day itself which atones through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only the sacrificial service, not only the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim. Well, this is to conclude the third Aliyah. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.